Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 through 24. The Reverend Brian Heller is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Hey, brothers and sisters in Christ gathered here this morning, what is marriage? Well, we certainly know what it is not. You know that marriage is not what the world is celebrating this month of June over so-called same-sex unions. We know that marriage is not a boyfriend and girlfriend living together outside the confines of marriage. We're certainly no strangers to the disorder that Satan has stirred among us, among our society, among our communities, and probably our own families when it comes to issues of sexuality and sexual deviance. Perhaps what we are more strangers to is the confession that St. Paul makes here in Colossians chapter 3. These verses are the ones that make us as Christians a bit squeamish. These are the verses that we think that we have to make excuses for Paul and his rhetoric. And of course, these are the verses that cause pastors a bit of anxiety when they're assigned to preach them. Yet, just as we are as bold in our steadfast confession that marriage is a lifelong union between a man and a woman, we are to be just as bold in our confession that what marriage is, as St. Paul so instructs us here, that within marriage there is an order of creation, that the husband is the head of the household, and commanded to love their wives, not be harsh with them, and that wives in turn are to submit, or perhaps a more clear term would be to be subordinates to their husbands. And the reason why this passage makes us as Christians a bit queasy is that the world around us, Satan, and our own sinful flesh tell us that this God-given order, it's not fair. Men and women are to be equal in all things, including their offices. This isn't anything new. We were told by God himself that this would be the case all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. After the fall, God tells Eve that her desire will be for her husband. No, God's not talking about a sexual desire for him, but a desire for his office. A desire to be the head of the household, a desire to not be subordinates. And let's face it, the words and ideas of submitting, subordinating, have no place in our sin-fallen world. One of the main reasons for this is that we know that authority can be abused. If a husband intentionally ignores the needs of his family to watch a sporting event for 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon, this is being negligent and not being faithful in his God-given vocation to be husband and father. When a man lives solely for himself and he is not loving his family self-sacrificially, that is, giving up his own desires for the sake of caring for his wife and his children, this is an abuse of authority. Yes, we know that sin is in this world. We know that authority can be abused. But that does not give us the excuse to throw in the towel, to give up, and to abandon God's good order. God is a God of order. He orders his creation for a purpose, that we serve one another in love, just as he has first loved us. It takes humility for both husbands and wives to fulfill their roles in the order of marriage. Husbands are to look to the interests of his wife and children, not his own. And wives willingly, lovingly subordinate themselves to their husband. Subordination should not be a word that we shy away from. As a faithful Lutheran pastor once used this illustration when discussing the idea and concept of subordination, he uses an excellent illustration of the relationship between a colonel and a sergeant major in the Army. Since the sergeant major is on the enlisted side of things, the colonel is an officer, the sergeant major is subordinate to the colonel. Yet it is the responsibility of the sergeant major to care for the troops, to know their needs, and to make recommendations to the colonel and advise him in these matters. Yet even if the colonel decides to act in a way that the sergeant major does not advise, as long as those orders are not illegal, immoral, the sergeant major is called to carry out the colonel's orders faithfully. In the same manner, the colonel would be foolish if he did not listen to the counsel given to him by that sergeant major. And for the benefit of the unit, it is crucial that the colonel and the sergeant major present a united front. No one would ever dare to call the sergeant major less than, inferior to, wimpy, because he is subordinate to the colonel. Not at all. And the same is true for the wife. She is called to provide for the household. She is the one who knows the needs of the family. She makes decisions in the best interest of the family at home, and she advises her husband accordingly. The husband, in turn, is called to listen to his wife's counsel and makes decisions with that counsel in mind. This is the good order that God has given to us and he has intended to in marriage. Christ himself is submissive to the Father's will, dying on the cross, giving up his life for the sake of his bride, the church. This is what subordination is all about. Voluntarily giving of ourselves for the sake of another. The very idea that we live for ourselves is demonic. Husbands and wives do not live for themselves, they live for one another, just as Christ lived, died, and rose again for us. Husbands, confidently lead your household, instructing them in the faith, giving them good gifts, loving them self-sacrificially, willingly giving up everything, your lives if necessary, just as Christ has laid down his life for his bride, the church. Wives, lovingly, willingly, subordinate yourselves to your husbands, receiving the gifts that your husband gives you without bitterness, without complaint, just as the church willingly subordinates herself to Christ and receives all of his good gifts in joyful thanksgiving. And all Christians this morning, remember that every single one of us is subordinate to Christ himself, who is placed above all things. Christ, your bridegroom, is the one who loves you perfectly. His promises and his words to you are true. And we trust that he will provide for our every need of both body and soul. Therefore, dear Christians this morning, rejoice in the order of creation that God has given to us for the welfare of our souls. Continue to be bold in your confession of what marriage is, including the God-pleasing vocation of husband and wife, mother and father, as we, the church, subordinate ourselves to Christ, as we let him be our Savior, and we patiently wait for the day that he will come again, and we will partake in the glorious wedding feast that has no end. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.